The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Federal troops have been deployed in California to intervene in protests around deportations being undertaken by ICE officers in that state. Now, the National Guard that has been deployed is the California National Guard, but in states of in situations of significant emergency, it can be federalized. And that is what has happened. A memo from the president has said that demonstrators impeded, quotes, the execution of laws, which constitutes a form of rebellion against the authority of the government of the United States. And therefore, the California National Guard has been placed under federal rather than California control and deployed by the federal government. And the Truth Social post that went with that said, if Governor Gavin Newsom of California and Mayor Karen Bass of Los Angeles can't do their jobs, which everyone knows they can't, then the federal government will step in and solve the problem. Rioters and looters, the way it should be solved. And Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, I should say, has posted, the federal government is taking over the California National Guard and deploying 2,000 soldiers in Los Angeles, not because there is a shortage of law enforcement, but because they want a spectacle. Don't give them one. And this, of course, raises huge concerns for the Irish illegal aliens across the US, because it is further evidence of the crackdowns on immigration in the US across the board, driven by the federal government. I'm joined by John Foley of Foley Law Boston, who represents a number of people who are being targeted by ICE, including a man from Donegal facing deportation who is in the process of green card application. John, good morning.
Good morning. It's really not a good morning here, unfortunately.
It's extraordinary stuff to see the California National Guard taken under federal control, apparently for something that the California government said was entirely under control by the police.
Yes, we are waking up in a country on the brink of a political, hopefully political and not physical, civil war caused by a president who seems intent on stroking confrontation and chaos. Because in that chaos, it's very easy to lose sight of the blatant money grabs, the budget cuts that will cost lives, and the ongoing support for genocide in Gaza that's taken over 50,000 innocent men, women, and children. We simply do not talk about Gaza in the United States because there's too much going on every single day that gets in the way. And the bulk of it is caused by Mr. Trump.
And it is your belief, John, that the deployment of troops is, as Gavin Newsom puts it, is an attempt to draw attention and to foment further tension and violence rather than to alleviate those?
Well, that's always the game plan. He takes drastic action to really create situations or solves problems that don't even exist. If the governor and the mayor of the city of the governor of California and the mayor of Los Angeles say they don't need assistance, then they don't need assistance. It's just Mr. Trump stoking the problem, making it worse and creating, you know, more confrontation and more chaos.
Now, as I mentioned, you represent an awful lot of Irish clients who are trying to either finalize a green card process or who are themselves illegal aliens. I assume that among your clients and among that community, there is a more heightened fear than in recent memory.
Yeah, there's never been this level of fear in the United States. They just announced the other day, Secretary of Homeland Security announced it's going to be a review of immigration records and a crackdown on visa overstays. So that would include the Irish. So when the majority of Irish people come here, they come here on what they call the ESTA, the Electronic System for Travel Authorization. We call it visa waiver. They just do it online, they answer a few questions, pay 21 US bucks, but they don't need to go to the consulate in Dublin or Belfast to get a visa. They don't need an interview. It's when they fail to depart the US in the 90 days that they're given that they get into trouble. Because if they overstay by even a day, they can be banned. And if they overstay by a year and then depart, they're banned for 10 years. That's why a lot of the Irish that are here for many years don't get to come home for funerals or weddings or family events. They're stuck here. And the other important thing about the visa waiver program is that in the fine print, the waiver means they waive all rights to judicial processing. So if they run into ICE you know, or, you know, Trump's beefed up ICE, put on steroids, they have no right to go in front of a judge to plead their case. ICE can simply remove them from the U.S. They don't go to court. They're simply detained by ICE until ICE can arrange travel, you know, arrangements for them to be put on a one-way flight back to Dublin.
I think there's probably a tendency when you describe that kind of situation to think of people who may have arrived over a year, 2 years ago, and who are caught in an overstay. For some of them, they have put down very deep roots over a very long period of time. You're currently representing a man facing deportation who has two American children?
Two American children. He ran his own business. He had 11 employees when he was taken into custody. That business is going to be shut down. He has a home that he owns. He has construction equipment, and he had a driving offense. He also had petitions pending with USCIS, which is Citizens and Immigration Citizens and Immigration Services. They've been pending for more than 3 years. So I asked ICE just to give us time to let CIS adjudicate the petition, and they said simply no. There is absolutely no flexibility with ICE. It's get them out of the country and get them out quick. And because they have no right to go in front of a judge, that's why the Irish are really vulnerable. They can be removed, like this gentleman will be probably this coming week, without ever going in front of a judge. It'll all be in the hands of ICE.
So is that different to somebody who has, let's imagine, crossed the border or crossed the Rio Grande and sought asylum? Do they actually have better access to a judicial system than the Irish?
Yes, absolutely. And it's not just the Irish. Again, the Irish are one of 42 countries that participate in the visa waiver program. But nobody who comes in on the visa waiver program has the ability to go in front of an immigration judge or a federal judge for that matter. So being a visa waiver means you waive all of your rights to judicial processing.
Now, John, there will be those who will say, well, you knew what this was when you got into it. So if you sign up to an ESTA and you overstay, that's your fault. If you take the risk of building a life somewhere where you don't have the rights to remain, that's a risk that you knowingly run. You're an adult. What of that argument?
It's a strong argument. They did, and they have. And you tell them that, and you know, we acknowledge that. Yep. My client who's being deported this coming week came in here 15 years ago. He met a woman, they got married, and they had two children, and for a variety of reasons, they did not do anything about his immigration paperwork. So that argument is a sound argument. Those people made a decision, and now they're being held to account.
And it means then from his
perspective... But it doesn't change the fact that their lives are, you know, turned upside down and inside out instantaneously, and that they're not going to be able to, you know, be a parent to their children unless their children return home with them. And it doesn't mean that their life hasn't been turned inside out and upside down.
And even that phraseology where you say return home, it's return to their father's home, because for those children, America is the home.
True, true. And in many ways, for that father who's been here for 15 years, this is his home as well. This is where he's been as an adult. This is where he has business contacts. So going back to Ireland, while this gentleman has a wonderful family to go back to, that's not always the case.
A Texas say the U.S. has immigration laws that are to be followed. Is Ireland different? Does Ireland welcome and celebrate Americans who come over on vacation, settle in and don't leave? I don't think you do. I suspect the issue here, though, John, with what we're seeing in California and across is the alacrity with which these actions are being taken, that there isn't a lot of due process being provided. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. And there's also a different mentality with ICE. In the past, when I had a gentleman like this, I could go to the ICE office, meet with a supervisor, propose a number of solutions, and usually we could work out something that was reasonable. Now when I go to ICE, first of all, they won't see me. They don't answer the phone. They don't respond to email. There's no communication. So you force yourself on ICE. You sit there, you wait for hours. Finally, you kind of work your way up to a supervisor. And people who in the past have been reasonable simply say, we don't have the authorization. This is coming down from the top. I can't do a deal with anybody, regardless of the circumstances. And the supervisor I was dealing with had two U.S. citizen children who was the same age as my client. But he said, I'm sorry, I don't have the authorization. So it comes from on top. This is by design by the Trump administration.
What's your expectation of what is likely to happen as this continues? Because what we saw in California was protests and resistance to ICE. We've seen federal judges end up finding themselves getting arrested because of pushback against ICE. We've seen the deportations to El Salvador and protests against that. Are you expecting to see more civil disobedience, more protests, more unrest, more National Guard on the street across the U.S.?
Well, I hope we don't see more National Guard. I hope we do see more protests and more demonstrations. They're happening every day all across the country. I was at the ICE office last week, and there was an impromptu demonstration where a group of about 30 people, one of them had a megaphone and read the Constitution to the ICE office. So I do expect more confrontation. This is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. How it turns out, time will tell.
And lastly on that, the pushback that you are seeing, what's the argument that the demonstrators can make? Because again, presumably what ICE will say and what the administration will say is, these are the laws of the nation. There was a mandate to deport people who are here illegally. We are doing that following the law. Tough luck.
It would be one thing if the administration was doing what it said it was doing, getting rid of the criminals, the worst of the worst. But that's really not the case. Now, they have, to their credit, gotten rid of some bad criminals, and they've put out advertisements, you know, patting themselves on the back about it. But many of the people who they're getting out have simple driving infractions. I'm being inundated now with clients that I've represented over the past 25 years who had minor criminal matters years ago, and they're wondering if they are likely to be the focus of ICE. And it appears to be the case, because that's who ICE is going after. Anybody who's had any brush with the law, no matter how small, is in their sights. So it is going to get worse before it gets better, and there are going to be more Irish people who are affected by this.
John, thank you very much for your time this morning. That is John Foley, who is a Boston-based immigration attorney with Foley Law in Boston. 53106, if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106 on WhatsApp. We're joined by Paul Brandis as well, White House Bureau Chief for West Wing Reports. Paul, the events in California, the rioting, tear gas being kicked back and forward between police and demonstrators, and now the National Guard federalized and on the streets. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is saying that it is an exercise in trying to increase spectacle and tension. Is that what we can expect over the coming days, or is it now beginning to depressurize slightly?
Well, I think your prior guest made some good points about that. And I think going forward, I think President Trump clearly is looking for, he sees this as a winning issue. It's one of the big issues that he thinks got him elected in the first place. So he's going to run with this and see how much mileage he can get out of it. These nasty pictures, nasty videos that the world has seen from California the last couple of days. I think President Trump, frankly, loves this because it shows that he is on the ball and he is doing what 74 million voters elected him to do. The California governor, as you mentioned, Gavin Newsom, a Democrat who is probably going to run for president in 2028, by the way, also sees this as an issue. He calls this mobilization of the National Guard, I think, purposely inflammatory, says it's only going to make things worse. So this is a political confrontation as well as just a confrontation in the streets. I think we've got several more chapters to be written here.
And presumably another aspect of it that plays well to the Trump base and to the Republican base is the fact that as blue states go, it's hard to get much bluer and more Democrat as a state than California. And this plays to the message that they won't take any woke nonsense from the Democrats.
Well, I think that's true. The other thing, by the way, that that President Trump and Republicans realize is that even in blue states like California, Republicans made some pretty serious inroads in the 2024 election. What's interesting here, though, going forward from a political standpoint, is this roundup of Hispanics. Hispanics actually voted for Trump in greater numbers in 2024, big shift to him relative to 2020. I'd be curious to see what this is going to do with the Hispanic base, again, who shifted towards Trump. Are they going to have a voter's remorse and go back the other way? I don't know. There are a lot of Hispanics who are very conservative, who are law and order Americans, just like other people, and they may applaud the crackdown. So we'll see. There are a lot of unanswered questions here about what the political fallout is going to be.
Finally, the Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has said that active duty Marines may be deployed if unrest continues. It is one thing to send in the National Guard. It is another to send active duty, full-time Marines, onto the streets of California. How unusual is it for the government to take control of a state National Guard like this, or is it a relatively normal thing?
Well, during the 1960s, when there were huge riots over things like civil rights, and after the assassination in 1968 of Martin Luther King, there were huge riots coast to coast, I think 125 cities or so. They were so big that President Johnson, I think, federalized the National Guard, and in some cities actually did send in U.S. Army troops. So we've seen it before, but not in quite some time. I think, again, we'll see where this goes. It's been done before, but not lately, and it may be seen as shocking to some people. So I think the main thing is hopefully there won't be any violence, but the sending in of Marines, to me, at least at this point, seems rather excessive, but it plays to something that President Trump obviously sees, again, as a winning issue. So he's going to be all over it as long as he thinks it's good for him personally, which, frankly, is pretty much all he cares about, not to be cynical.
Paul, really appreciate your time, and particularly appreciate the fact that it is so early when you are giving us your time. That's Paul Brandis, who is founder and bureau chief of West Wing Reports, Washington bureau chief.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.